from the studios of 96.3 FM Freak Radio in Santa Cruz, California. It's time for the weekly Freak Show. Headlines and highlights for the week ending October 5th, 2000. My name's the V-Man, and I'll be your host for this half-hour look back at the news and features you didn't hear on the corporate news. On this week's show, we'll hear the latest on the FCC's crackdown on unlicensed radio operators around the country. With two radio stations raided in 5 days, many micro-radio operators are left wondering, could we be next? And later, we'll hear from Lauren Sullivan of the Rainforest Action Network, updating us all on Occidental Petroleum's latest assault on the Uwa people in Colombia's oil-rich rainforests. Stay tuned for the Weekly Freak Show, coming up next. And joining me with headlines for the week ending October 5th, 2000, here's The Fish.
All right, these are the three headlines for this week, specially selected by the V-Man. On Wednesday, September 27th, 2000, agents from the FBI and U.S. Marshals Office, assisted by the Seattle Police Department, arrested animal rights activist Josh Harper on a warrant charging him with criminal contempt of court for a refusal to appear before a federal grand jury in Portland, Oregon, on May 24th, 2000. The grand jury was convened to investigate the activities of the Animal and Earth Liberation Fronts, or ALF and ELF. He appeared at a bail hearing on Friday, September 29th, and despite efforts by prosecutors to block the release, a bail was set, and supporters who packed the courtroom raised money in less than 20 minutes. Josh refuses to testify and faces up to 18 months in a federal prison. He also plans to fight the charge of criminal contempt. His next court hearing is October 27th at 9 a.m. in Portland, Oregon. Second story. The first of three presidential debates took place in Boston, Massachusetts on Tuesday, October 3rd, 2000, at the University of Massachusetts Boston campus. The Commission on Presidential Debates has only allowed Democratic candidate Al Gore and Republican candidate George W. Bush to participate. Secret Service agents had closed the campus 2 days earlier, citing security concerns. Nearly 1,500 people took part in demonstrations calling for access to the debates. Green Party candidate Ralph Nader had been denied entrance after he was given a ticket to attend. He claims he was excluded on political grounds. Clashes between activists and union members resulted in minor injuries, at least one video camera was destroyed. As the debate drew closer to its start time, activists swelled and attempted to enter the barricaded campus. Police used billy clubs and pepper spray on protesters who had ignored their orders and pushed back barricades. Protests continued throughout the duration of the debate. In all, a dozen people were arrested, and all but one were released in the morning. For more news on this story, on the World Wide Web, go to www.boston.indymedia.org. Once again, www.boston.indymedia.org. And finally, on October 5th, 2000, Greenpeace revealed that two biotechnology companies have conducted a genetic experiment that allowed a human pig a human spliced with pig embryo to develop to 32 cells and have applied for patents in the European Patents Office to own both the process and the life form. "We oppose attempts to patent human life just as we oppose patents on all life," said Greenpeace genetic engineering campaigner Michael Koo. This news comes in the wake of the Canadian government's decision on Monday, October 2, 2000, to appeal the Oncomouse case. The Oncomouse was genetically engineered to develop cancer by Harvard University and is now owned by DuPont. Harvard has attempted to patent the life form in Canada for the past 15 years, and on August 3, 2000, the Federal Court of Appeal allowed the patent while noting that this is an issue which Parliament should decide. In Wednesday's revelation, a search of the European Patent Office files revealed an application by Stem Cell Sciences of Australia and Biotransplant of the United States for patents on life covering the cloning of embryos, including humans, as well as mixed species embryos from pigs and humans. Koo stated, "The ethical, moral, and legal basis for these studies should be subjected to broad social debate before such experiments take place."
It's been a busy week in the world of low-power radio. A Senate bill which would effectively silence most of the new LPFM stations created by the FCC in January has picked up more sponsors. The studio of Humboldt Pirate Radio in Northern California was visited three consecutive days and had their equipment photographed by agents from the FCC. And Joe Patak of Kind Radio in San Marcos, Texas, appeared in court for a pretrial status conference on September 29th. Kind Radio had filed suit in July 1999 against the FCC and Justice Department alleging harassment. They were forced off the air on September 1st of this year. Later on September 29th, the home of Mabana Kantako was raided and Human Rights Radio was shut down. Largely considered the father of the micro-radio movement, Mabana, who is blind, has operated without a license for over 12 years. He was subpoenaed to appear in court the night before by a representative from the United States Attorney's Office. I spoke with Mabana on September 30th. Here, he describes the raid on his home.
Issues the order, and everybody leaves, gets up to leave. I get up to leave the courtroom, and the United States Attorney and the FCC agent run over to me, and basically what they were saying, please don't make us show our fangs. And I turned to both of them, and I said, look, I'll be at home, load up your truck with thugs, and come and get the stuff. That's the only way you're going to get it. Okay? So I went home, and I called a few friends and told them what happened, and I went and took me a nap, and I got up, and I went out and sat on the porch. And they wasn't coming fast enough, so about 4 in the afternoon, I started calling them every 15 minutes. And my wife went to the store, and she said there was some fancy cat down there in a very fancy car at the store. And so I knew then that that was the guy that was going to do the scout, you know, for him. And so I got back on the radio, and I said, okay, we made your point, guys, so come on, let's make this move. And so as soon as I said that, I got up, walked toward the kitchen to get me a glass of water. I didn't get to the kitchen before my wife said, here they come. So I turned around, went back, got my tape recorder, and went to the door to greet them.
And you were still live on the air?
Yeah. By then, I stopped over by the mixer, the board there, just left the mics up for the time that I could. And my daughter grabbed a video camera, and I grabbed a tape recorder. And they asked me to come out the house first, and I went out. And they basically let me know outside.
How many cars came up?
We now, as we talked to different people, there had to have been at least 10 cars and at least a van around the house. Now, we don't know in terms of support, you know, crews, what they had backup, but from them came 40 to 50 agents.
40 to 50 agents from different departments?
Federal marshals, state police, county police, city police. Anybody had a squirrel rifle that Hayden and Banner Kentucky could get on the Jeep and ride. They went to the bar and they loaded up and they came. And they told me on the porch they had this warrant. I said, well, the transmitter's upstairs. Why don't you just go get it, you know? No, you all are going to have to go in the living room and sit down. So they forced my family, my wife, my daughters, my daughter 21 with her two babies, one month old and 2 months old.
And how was their treatment of you?
Well, they kept us on, they moved us into the living room. And they set us on the couch until Wilford Gray came in and told them to take everything in our house, basically. They took our computer.
They took your computer.
The printer. They left the mouse and the speakers. They were very cute. They took my stereo speakers. They took my stereo receiver. They took 3 VCRs. They took 4 tape players, 2 cassette, 2 CD players and 1 CD recorder, 2 mixers, 2 microphones. They cut the cables to our antennas that are on the roof all the way up to the roof.
And they left the antenna up, huh?
Yeah, but they cut the cables, you know. They trashed our living room, okay? They kicked my tape. They didn't take our tapes or CDs. They kicked them around the room. They kicked the shelf off of one of my stands. They had to kick it off because it had like a dozen nails in it. I recently put it back together, and you had to wear jackboots to kick it off, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it was a good feeling, you know, like, yes, you know. For 10 minutes, 5 minutes, first 5 minutes, until the agent came in the front room, the military secured the house. Ran around, you know, who's in here? And we try to tell them at the same time, ain't nobody in here but us and myself, my wife, my kids, and my grandkids.
And did they put gunpoint? Everybody
we
at gunpoint?
We held that way for 45 minutes. We sat in the front room for a while, and then they said they got tired of us videotaping them and laughing at them, so they moved us to our bedroom, and they held us in there for another 35 to 40 minutes. After they got, they wouldn't let After about, they came about 5:15. At 5:57, 58, they was at 6 o'clock. They was pulling off from in front of the house, and we were allowed then to leave our bedroom. And we assessed the situation. They just trashed the living room, the room where the transmitter was in. They basically went there and just did what they felt like, you know.
Now, are you facing any kind of charges or any further court?
They're scheduled for October the 4th to confirm that they were right for what they were doing, you know what I'm saying? To talk about why they wanted such a restraining order, okay? Which I imagine at least they're going to want to do is keep everything they steal. That's just part of the territory, you know. Why take the job if you can't steal, right?
Right.
And so I imagine at least they're going to want to do that. They'll probably give me this note about, you know that unless you people understand what we want you to be thinking, you're going to catch hell again, you know, that kind of lecture. And, you know, like, it's already understood that they deem anything that my people do to restore ourselves from this we call Holocaust that they visited on us for 11 generations is going to be deemed illegal. And those of us who do anything to help our people recover from this Holocaust are going to be deemed criminal. So among us, it's a badge of honor to be called a criminal in this country. So whatever labels, whatever they want to do, that's their business. We say to the people that we've been blessed to learn a lot of communicating skills in the time we've been on the air, and none of that equipment I had the money to buy. And if the Creator allows equipment of that kind to be in my hands again, I'll be right back on the air and ain't even thinking about it.
How can people help you achieve that goal?
Well, you know, our address is 1113 North 5th Street, Springfield, Illinois, 62702. And, you know, if you got something like, you know, any kind of piece of stereo equipment that might help in a broadcast, send it forward. You know, we'll be glad to use it. We'll put it to good use. We're trench warriors. We fight in the trenches. And all we ask down here is for the equipment to fight this devil, and we're going to whoop him. We're fighting right here in the heartland, where he tells the biggest lie in the world that, yeah, we enslaved people, but we freed them. And they know that's the biggest lie, because your listeners and everybody out there knows that when they get through, all they got at the end of the day is what a slave had. A place to stay, not the best. Food to eat, not the best. Clothes to wear, not the best. They don't have relationships. They don't have anything that matters. And everybody knows it. And so, what we set out to do from the beginning was to make this boy show his fangs. Right here in Springfield. Right in Lincoln Town. They proved to everybody that you can speak freely if you think what they want you to think. And you will think what they want you to think, because you will never hear nothing.